Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, November 1st, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to welcome in our friend Rhonda James from the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin. Looking forward to talking with her. Right now, on the phone line, we have with us Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Always happy to be on with you, James.
What we're going to do right now is wrap up our candidate series where we've been interviewing each candidate for our local offices. And what I've been doing is doing the same thing that WFHR has done for 80 plus years. I've asked each of our candidates the same questions. I do no follow-ups. We give them the equal amount of time and then kind of go on. And with our representative where we had Senator Teston on and Representative Krug, we have a little extra time with them. So we'll take a beat and we'll kind of get to the rest of the conversation there. But to start off, Scott, could you tell us, especially to those that may not know out there, I know you've done this a number of times, but give us a little bit of your backstory, if you will, Scott.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's always part of the education process is starting over with new listeners, so I don't have a problem at all. So, like, originally out of college, I was in law enforcement. I started seeing all the same things that people would do to each other on a daily basis, and I give kudos to everybody that stayed in that profession, but it was not for me, so I ended up going into the programming realm, working in the drug court in Wood County and starting some, job development type programs. So that's kind of my basic background was law enforcement and the programming and trying to stop recidivism. Those are the policy things that really got me interested in Madison. And the ultimate backstory is it's the fourth grade field trip. I mean, that was the iconic thing that fourth graders in the state should all get a chance to get to the Capitol and see the building and wonder what that is. And I think that really planted the seed for the career that I talked about that got me down to Madison.
Why did you decide, you touched on this a little bit, but why did you decide to run for office and to do this job?
Yeah, I mean, specifically, I first ran way back in 2002 on the idea that it was the fourth grade field trip, the nostalgia thing that stuck in my head. I learned how to do everything wrong, then lost the four-way primary absolutely horrifically. And kind of waited around and stayed involved and understood what politics were. And during the height of the recession, the reason I ultimately ran in 2010 was during the height of the recession, I saw state government raise taxes by $5 billion and take in $5 billion of federal stimulus money and almost double the size of the state budget. And it just, I knew that had impacts on families across the state and, all the related policies to that. So I wrote to my elected rep at the time and he ignored me. So, instead of staying angry at TV and things like that, my wife told me, well, maybe it's time to give it a try again. So that's the actual real 2010 reason I ended up running, besides all the background I talked about from being a kid.
Scott, what qualifies you? How do you feel you specifically can best represent this area?
I think the biggest qualification is having a broad knowledge of different things that have happened in life. And I think, having been married twice and having six kids and grandkids and owning a business and, the policy background I've had in previous careers. I mean, every little aspect of every little experience you have makes you, a well-rounded, qualified individual, because they always say nobody's an expert on anything in the legislature. You just have to know a little bit about it so you know which side's coming at you with the truth. So I think just that well-rounded aspect to everything and life experience really helps somebody be a good state rep. And that's why I think I am.
How do you feel your previous jobs have prepared you for this one while you've been doing in the process of doing it?
Yeah, I mean, every job that I've had has been involved with people, right? And just understanding the psychology of people, who they are, why they do what they do, and trying to help understand what their motivations are really all culminates in me doing what I've done in Madison now for all these years, is trying to help understand where people are coming from, what their needs are, how can we meet those needs, how can we find compromise with somebody who might be opposed to it. So it's just all of those jobs I've had in the past, all lead into building those people skills and understanding why we all want what we want or act how we act.
Speaking with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug, and Scott, what are your passions? What would you like to focus on if reelected?
The biggest one for me has always been local issues, whether it's been helping to get the airport, refurbished and get ready for Sand Valley, or creating some site-specific rules to get rid of blue-green algae in our lakes. It's just trying to be able to be the voice of the people of the district in Madison's always been my specialty. And I think been able to accomplish a lot of those goals with bipartisan, achievement on both sides of the aisle that we can all take credit for, while getting a win for our local community. So I'm excited about that. I mean, on a statewide basis, I really would love to see us do more to help folks who are retired to want to stay in Wisconsin. I think that's probably the next priority on a statewide level. Making sure if you have a lower income during retirement that we don't tax it to death. So that's kind of the priority in the upcoming session here, is to focus on seniors more.
With that, what do you feel are some of the biggest, if not the biggest, challenges facing your fellow Wisconsinites?
I mean, right now, 100%. I mean, I'm knocking on doors not only everywhere in the district, but around the state, and everybody's talking the same thing. And it's just the cost of our society today, the inflation, the things that lead to it, the decisions that government can be involved in to help alleviate that. Second, a lot of people are talking, obviously, federal issues more than state issues at our doors, even, because sometimes it gets confusing. So you hear a lot about, immigration and how that actually affects us at a state level is more on, pricing of housing, safety in our communities. I mean, all those things that are federal issues, we do have a hand in at the state in one way or another. So we try to help out with those things. And I think that's kind of what the folks are asking us to do in the next legislative session.
Survey after survey, poll after poll, we are seeing people that are done with the divisiveness of today's politics. How important is it to you to be able to reach across the aisle, to be able to work with the other side?
Yeah, I mean, best I can say to their concerns is amen. It's one of the things that's most frustrating about this job is that after you're done doing the business of the day when the cameras are on, all the individuals and all the players that you hear about on TV or see in the news, they're all talking to each other as normal human beings. So I really set forth as the chair of campaigns and elections this year to kind of get us back to that point where we do all remember that we're actually all there for the same reason, for the improvement of our state, for the citizens of Wisconsin, and trying to quit questioning people's motives as much as we have done in the past has been really nice to see happen this last legislative session, because it's something I've done with almost every bill I've written is look out for that bipartisan approach to get it done. But I think on a wider scale, we all have to take a focus on that.
You are running to represent the 72nd district. How would you best describe the district?
It's home, right? I mean, I get choked up when I talk about it sometimes, because I mean, it's where I grew up. It's where I raised my family. It's where my family has been for, 130 some years, all the way back to Babcock in the early days of Cranberry growing. And just even the way the new map has changed and incorporates some of my, old stomping grounds of Juneau County, where I was a sheriff's deputy for a couple of years. And, Castle Rock and Pete and Well are right smack dab in the middle of it, and they just make up the tourism base of this district. And it's just, it's home. And I couldn't be happier with the way that the district is shaped right now.
And Scott, as we wrap up, any final statements on this?
I don't think so. I think, my record of achievement really speaks for itself, and I've never been one of those guys to say, hey, look at this or look at that. But I've got a lot of local bills done that usually just don't happen in a split, legislative governorship time. So it's nice to be able to be one of the common sense voices in Madison and provide some leadership for the rest of the folks down there.
Thank you, Scott, very much for answering these questions and for the time. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a problem.
Want to thank all of our candidates for joining us, every one of them for being on the air with us. It was not only great to have them with us, but to be able to inform our community and make sure that they have everything they need to know as they lead into the election. And I'm going to use that as a bit of a segue to go into kind of our regular conversation when we get together for once a month, Scott. And I do appreciate that we're able to do that and the transparency we're able to, especially given it's an election year and not a new job for you, but a job that you have picked up in recent times involving our elections. Can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, I will tell you this. So I am out knocking on doors Monday through Saturday all over the state of Wisconsin, while still being the chairman of campaigns and elections in one of the most contentious presidential races in history. So literally my day-to-day, James, is I'll walk into doors for about 15, 20 minutes, then somebody will call me from somewhere in the state where they're having a question about elections, where I'll stand on a street corner in the middle of Altoona and have to call a county clerk in Dane County or Milwaukee County just to get an answer, which I am so glad people are asking ahead of time about. Or if they just had a question at the polls, that would be an accusatory, they're calling to ask, well, what's this about? So dynamic this cycle compared to 2020, where we saw a lot of the waiting until after election day to bring up concerns and issues. Now everybody's open, honest, up front. Everybody knows everybody's watching each other, and we are actually having a really smooth election cycle. The first 2 weeks of early in-person voting and all the absentee voting that's gone on, we're about 2 million votes in out of 3.5 million registered voters right now.
What are some of the main things that you are hearing from people, questions that are being asked or concerns that you are seeing and addressing?
Yeah, like I said, you know, I can't tell you how many places I've been where everybody is talking about just the cost of living in America and trying to fulfill their basic needs at this point. And it's crazy. It's not hyperbole. I don't do this during campaign season for a purpose because everybody thinks it's a campaign speech sometimes. But when you hear people using those phrases and those terminologies, like I can't afford this and I can't afford that, you start seeing a theme everywhere around the state. So those are, you know, we pick up on that one the most. Second is abortion policy. A lot of people ask at the doors what an individual candidate's position on that is. So I think those are probably the top two that I hear at the doors everywhere every day.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, sometimes you pick up. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Scott. I was speaking more so to the election, but I appreciate the answer. I appreciate hearing those things. It's always good to hear what you're hearing, talking with people and everything. But as far as the election goes, it seems like one of the things that you're finding is communication with our clerks and the importance of that and strengthening that.
Yeah, and I've been saying on social media all the way through is that, hey, if you have a question about elections or you're seeing some numbers about something, let's call people and find out what the answers are, because this whole last year and a half or almost 2 years as chair of that committee have built up all these relationships where even, what was it, Tuesday night, a state rep from up north texted me a picture of something she saw somewhere with Dane County. So I called the Dane County clerk and said, hey, Scott, what's going on with this? He's like, yeah, this is what happened. So within 10 minutes of somebody raising the concern, I got to a clerk and got an answer back to the individual. And it's really put out a lot of fires that have happened, you know, here and there with one-off situations across the state. Here we have, you know, all of these clerks across the state all doing the super best they can with, you know, massive numbers of in-person early voters. There's going to be some quirks still because people are people. But it's just on the other end of it, there's other people that can help answer those questions. So it's been great to take those concerns and answer them right away.
And how are you feeling compared to, as you mentioned, 2020 or years past, other election cycles going into this election, the confidence, how you feel going into this election?
Yeah, I think, you know, after 2020, there's no secret that, you know, confidence was at an all-time low because there were so many people that had heard about this or you heard about that. So I think, you know, throughout the last 4 years, not just the two I've been chairman, but we've seen people play into that fear and cause it to get worse. But then we've also seen the side that we're taking now where we're trying to answer questions, be openly communicative, just make sure everybody's comfortable. So I still say there's a level of folks who have a distrust. But my goal here on election night in 24 is to prove them that, you know, everything is, you know, copacetic and we're good to go in our election system, because it's always worked in Wisconsin up until that COVID election. Nobody's had real questions about our process before.
There's something happening here that is bothersome to me as somebody who genuinely enjoys politics and loves democracy. As one of the bigger things that I can say that I love unquestionably in life is our democracy and the way we run things. And there's something that has been I've been noticing and I'm picking up. I got in more fights than I can count in before I was 10. I grew up in a bit of a violent way. And when I moved up here to Wisconsin, it was a bit of culture shock and I had to adapt. And it took me, I'm not proud of this, but it took me into my early 20s to realize I walked around everywhere with my fists clenched. And if I walk around all day with my fists clenched, I'm probably going to get in a fight. I had to learn to stop doing that. If we jump on things before they even happen, we oftentimes are going to make things happen or could you know, create things that don't even need to be. And right now we are seeing a lot of people making plans for November 6th and not good things and things that hurt our democracy. If we are to make this a trusted trusted thing, our democracy and our voting process, I don't feel like we're doing ourselves any service by jumping the gun and saying already, well, I'm not going to accept the what happens or this or that. How can you accept results if you win but don't accept them if you lose? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. And how can you walk into an election with your fists clenched when that you can't vote that way? You can't go into anything this way, but walking into an election, this one this big, feels like we're walking around with our fists clenched.
It is, and I think sometimes people just have to be able to ask questions and just let their guard down for a minute and figure out the answers, because the people that you cite who are doing the I don't know if I'm going to accept the result type stuff are also the ones who fan some flames other times too. So it's just a matter of trying to ignore those things as best you can and just get the information yourself from a trusted source. That's the best I can tell people, is just take a breath, give somebody a call that knows something. It doesn't have to be me. It can be your county clerk. It can be your city clerk, your municipal clerk. I mean, there are people that run these elections that you can trust, and especially in central Wisconsin. It's beyond reproach. So there may be questions here, questions there, but, you know, when anybody asks me what's our election system like here, it is 100% rock solid. Like, there is no question that I trust all of my clerks here in central Wisconsin to do the absolute letter of the law and get the job done.
You know a little bit about getting things done as well with the amount of things that you have accomplished in the time you have been in office, Scott. Are there highlights for you when you look back at, you know, you have an election coming up like you do in less than a week from now and stuff, and you look back at some of the things you've done, and, you know, like, I'm really proud of this, and I imagine you're proud of all of these things, but ones that stand out.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like, when I drive down, you know, I drive up I-39 towards Wausau, and you go past the Skyward Building and understand that we were able to save that just, you know, with an idea that sprung up from central Wisconsin legislators to say, let's save 1,000 jobs. To see that new building, I go past it, super cool. Or when we're out on the lake on Castle Rock and there's a lot less blue-green algae out there, that's probably the thing I'm second most proud of, is just to be able to clean up our area waters and make sure people can use them recreationally. And I think the biggest one that'll prove the longest-term impact is the work I've done on financial literacy. Just say every school in the state has to have some hand in their curriculum to help people understand how this relates to their everyday life and their finances, because so many people fall behind because they sign up for a free credit card at a Brewers game, and people don't understand the impact of those things sometimes. So, yeah, it should all start at home. But sometimes when the last generation didn't have the information to pass on, we've got to figure out a way to do it. So our schools have stepped up amazingly on financial literacy. I mean, there are a lot of cool things about this job.
And Scott, as we wrap up, you know, none of us know what's going to happen on November 5th necessarily, or, you know, whether your term ends soon or way, way down the line. Certainly like to plan for the future and like to plan ahead a little bit. And one of the things I've been trying to do is get Scott to talk a little sports with me whenever he's on the air. Maybe we get him into on our sports show, and you can co-host our sports show with us or something like that.
I'm ready. I've been warming
the
pipe. Yeah.
World Series, man. That World Series was pretty amazing. Even without having one of our local teams in it and having these big conglomerates in there, it was a little bit of a letdown, I think, in some ways. But, man, they gave us a wild fifth inning.
Yeah, that was crazy. Like, I mean, to see the Yankees and Dodgers in a World Series, no matter what you think of those teams, it's iconic, right? I mean, that's the coolest type of world. It's like Kansas City and St. Louis. You know, I mean, you know, the Mets versus the Yankees. I mean, there's a few World Series combinations. They're always cool, and Dodgers-Yankees will be that. But just showed how lazy the Yankees are. Like, it's just so much money. Maybe they make too much money. They just don't want to try every play. It's like, I don't get it. But, you know, you see those younger, hungrier teams, and, you know, the Dodgers are just a bunch of scrappy players who ended up becoming superstars of their own. And then you add in Freddie Freeman and Shohei. It's like, oh, come on.
The Dodgers seemed like they were playing like they hadn't won a title in 15, 20 years. Like, it felt like to me like they were hungrier than New York was. It was New York almost seemed like relieved to get there, where the Dodgers were kind of like, oh, work ain't done. Well, we've got work to do. Certainly to Freddie Freeman. Yeah. Freddie Freeman doing all that on a bum ankle.
I think the Padres really motivated the Dodgers. I mean, the Padres were coming hard. So, I mean, I thought the Padres had this whole thing wrapped up earlier in the postseason, but that's really what sparked the Dodgers to destroy the rest of the the games after those first four with San Diego. So
certainly shift gears into football season, of course, and get ready for that, or get into that. And got a big one coming up this weekend, Detroit and Green Bay. That is going to be an interesting. Well, all eyes will be on that.
Well, you know, it depends on how much Jordan Love plays and how much Malik Willis plays. And, I mean, it's like the offense is almost more creative when Malik's in there because LaFleur's got to think more. So I'd love to see him get that creative when Jordan Love's in the game and see what they could do. But
Agreed. Yeah. We will see, and we'll be looking forward to it. And certainly we'll be talking about it probably the next time you join us, Scott. If people want to find out more and ask any of these questions we brought up or anything like that, Scott, how can they reach you?
Yeah, cell phone's like almost always on. It's 715-323-3293. And just a final last plug, like Tuesday night, election night, even if you're just bored, just keep an eye on my Facebook. I'll be updating races regardless of where you stand on them. So we'll be putting numbers out, and we'll have a party out at the Ridges. The car will rove all these numbers up. It's my favorite part of the election cycle. So.
Oh, looking forward to that. Yeah, I'll be paying attention. And as always, appreciate the time, Scott. Safe travels out there. We'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Take care.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.